Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach David Bartke here. Today is Sunday, June the 24th, 2018, 8:30 p.m. We're starting a little bit late, but 8:30 p.m. your Eastern time, your weekend daily dose of happy. And we've been just chatting before the show, talking about what we've been up to and kind of doing a little catching up. And like I was saying to you, David, before the show, Sunday today has been a beautiful day for Louise and I because we did a day trip up to Boston and did some things we haven't done in quite some time. We actually went to see a planetarium show. I mean, when was the last time you saw a planetarium show?
I think when I was a kid in New York.
I know. It's a long time, yeah. Right? And they've come a long way. I mean, now you know they're using like CGI, computer graphics, and all that kind of stuff. So it's... You know, it's definitely...
Oh, did you feel like you were, like, flying around in space? Or?
Oh, yeah. They definitely give you the feel that you're flying in phase, in space, rather. Actually, when the movie first started and you first start to move like that, it's a little disorienting. You feel like you're getting dizzy or something, but...
Yeah, for me, I don't like that kind of thing, but I understand why it's cool to do it, but yeah.
It is, yeah. Well, I had to look away for a little bit, yeah. But that was good, though. Yeah, it worked out okay. And, you know, they try to imagine what the planets are like based on the limited data that they have through the telescopes they use in space, including the Kepler telescope, which was launched into orbit in 2009, I believe. And they have literally been discovering thousands of planets, what they call exoplanets, meaning a planet outside the solar system, all throughout the near end of the galaxy. And at one point they described the fact that despite the fact they found all these exoplanets, the amount of space they have discovered so far is the equivalent of a thimbleful compared to the size of the Milky Way.
Wow, oh my God.
So, yeah, it's not exactly a whole lot yet, but by the comparison to, say, you know, 20 years ago, I think it was 1995 was when the first exoplanet was discovered. So what's it been? That's been 23 years, something like that. In 23 years, they've discovered all these planets circling around other suns, other stars. And you know, before that, we didn't know of any. There were none as far as we were knowing. So it's kind of fun, you know. And, you know, computer graphics have come a long way, too. They did a pretty good job of visualizing. I mean, they had to do the imagination, you know, basically on the limited information they have. And, I mean, they compose music for it. They have an orchestra playing in the background. It's a very professional presentation now. It's not like back, you know, when I was a kid. I mean, a planetarium show was where, you know, they'd have a dome, and the dome would get lit with all those little tiny pinpoints of light, and then a guy with a light pointer would start talking to you about, you know, what you could find in the night sky. Now they're doing this whole CGI thing. Quite a difference. Yes. Quite a difference.
And what about winds? What winds can you share?
Well, that's a win right there. I mean, first of all, we weren't working, we weren't fretting, we weren't stressing, we weren't doing any of the things that often can happen. You know, we were having a good time. Yeah. That's a big win all by itself. And
absolutely.
And right afterward, we went out to have some seafood. Of course, when you're in Boston, the planetarium is in Cambridge, right across the river from Boston proper, and like it's literally like a mile from like Faneuil Hall and you know all that historic stuff downtown. So we went right down by Faneuil Hall. There's a place there. Oh, what's it called now? I can't think what it's called. I don't dare say it wrong because if I say it wrong, a Bostonite's going to say no. But it's a very famous seafood place. It's a place that many, many years ago, it was known among the farmers in the area. They would come downtown, sell their wares, sell their produce and so forth. And then they'd all get, you know, pile into this place and basically, you know, feed themselves for the next week, so to speak, and then go back to their farms. And I mean, it used to be, this was one of those places where, you know, they would just have picnic tables lined up side by side, you know, all the way along the length of it, and very rough kind of eating. Well, you know, that's where the restaurant got its reputation and its name from that experience. Right. Well, today they're nicer. They have tablecloths and stuff. But it's still a very plain way to get, you know, really high-quality seafood. And anything in Boston, of course, when it comes to seafood, is delicious.
So, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So a little lobster, a little clam chowder. Onion rings. Oh, my God, the onion rings were delicious. They were the best onion rings we've had in years.
Well, I was going to say, were the onion rings a vibration-raising?
Oh, they all were. I mean, the whole thing was. But those, I don't know what batter they use. That batter was delicious. I mean, usually, you know how it is with onion rings. Usually onion ring batter has got, you know, a little flavor to it, maybe. These were like dripping with flavor. It's unbelievable. Wow.
Wow, very good.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Very good. How about you? How's your week been?
Very good. Very good. Just had a nice, what I call a nice normal week. I had some very good coaching sessions and what I call safe transportation. I got everywhere I had to go safely.
Always a good thing.
And yeah. And we actually have a special guest with us tonight.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's great. A friend of yours came by, huh, who's got some interesting skills that she brings to the table.
Yes, we have Jill Neer. Jill, are you on?
Yes, I'm on.
Hello, Jill.
Say hi to Walt.
Hi, Walt.
Thanks for
so,
joining
Jill,
us today.
Tell us a little bit about
yourself.
You're
welcome. I am an EFT practitioner, which is emotional freedom technique, and it's known as the tapping. Some people know it that way. So I've been doing that for a few years, and I'm also a psychic and a medium, which helps when you're doing tapping with somebody. For some reason, you can pull out more. And pretty much that's what I do.
Excellent. And I know you're very into the law of attraction.
Yes, very much.
Now, do you remember how you kind of first heard about it or got into it?
Many, 25 years ago, 20, somebody gave me tape that were copied by people who'd been there. I don't even know if they were selling them at that point because I just don't know. All I know is here, listen to these. They're really great.
And what were tapes of what?
They were tapes of Esther talking.
Oh, Esther. Oh,
Abraham Hicks.
So it was, yes, it was Abraham Hicks, tapes way before they were actually making them and, you know, doing that. And then I had someone in Florida a few years after that, they had like, they were just copying everybody. Somebody would buy the tapes and then they would copy them and copies would go around. And so I had a zillion copies and then, yeah, exactly.
Did you immediately like connect with it? Or did
you think it's interesting when she was first doing it, when Esther was first doing it, she said a lot of, I want. It was the word I want was in it a lot. Mm-hmm. And at that time in the spiritual community, it was kind of like, you stepped away from the I want thing because it sounded like you were wanting, meaning...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You kept you in the wanting vibration.
Yes, exactly. Instead of giving it to you, you were in the wanting mode.
Yeah.
So it kind of didn't sit well with me because I had that mindset at that point. But then as it progressed, I saw that was not so... When I tell you it was stressed in those original tapes, believe me, it was constant repetition of the I want, wanting, want, want.
Yeah.
So then the next time I got a flow of them coming to me was when I was visiting friends in Florida. And I came home with a zillion tapes. And then she would make me more and ship them to me, the new ones. And then, of course, the CDs. And then I went to a couple of the programs that they had.
Oh, like the in-person?
Yes, the in-person things in Philadelphia, two of them. And one I actually saw Esther when I had to go back because a friend of mine forgot something. So I ran back to get it. And Esther was standing outside waiting, eating a bag of popcorn.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because she was just Esther then.
Yeah.
It was nice.
So did it resonate with you immediately? Or?
I don't believe with the wanting and the wanting, didn't.
Okay.
But then the second time, it just resonated.
Yeah.
It just clicked. And then they just got better and better, and the messages just got really clean, nice.
Because, yeah. Walt, I remember you had said when you first kind of heard about it, it kind of took you a minute for it to kind of click.
Well, it did take a while, and I mean, when I it was a while before I heard Esther Hicks at all. I mean, I heard about The Secret first, and I didn't hear about The Secret with the Esther Hicks version. So Abraham, I didn't learn about until at least 3 or 4 years after I heard about The Secret. And then when I did hear about it, and when I finally heard some of the early stuff, I mean, I know what you mean, Joe, when you talk about how she said, I want, but I loved the way she said the word. I want.
Yes.
I want.
Wanting and wanting. Yeah.
And in those early days, I mean, actually, I have a little trouble listening to those early recordings just because it was almost like Esther was trying to make it sound otherworldly in the way that she would translate what she was getting. So it had this ethereal sound to it. It didn't sound real
at
all.
Until she perfected her ability to hold the energy in a
right.
manner that was more balanced with her. I believe in the beginning it was very tough.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit forced, and it kind of comes through. I mean, now she's much more relaxed, and so it just feels very comfortable. But yeah, I had a little trouble listening to the first few years of worth of stuff. In fact, I always did better when I just read the stuff. It's like, okay, I can handle it this way.
It's interesting. I was just speaking with my son about this yesterday, and I quoted something on one of the CDs that when I heard the line, I don't know if you guys do this, but when I hear a line, I just go back and I keep playing it until I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said to him, I said, he was talking about a friend who he's trying to, let's say, enlighten. And he says, but he's just not getting it. And I said, he's like, you know, I want to go and help him. And I said, here's something I heard on the Abraham Hicks, Law of Attraction CD years ago, and here's the lines. Esther said, if someone you know needs a hand up, reach down and pull them up. Never, never go down to help them up. Don't go down to their level.
Yes.
You must always stay where you are. And if they don't want to come up to your level, then they have more to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there's all the little gems in those CDs.
There are a lot of gems. That's true. And I learned the first Hicks book that I read was Asking It Is Given. And I'll never forget whenever I buy a book, particularly from an author I've never read before, I'll go to Amazon and I'll read the reviews. And I always look at the negative reviews because I figure if the negative reviews don't turn me off, then I figure the book's probably pretty good. And one of the reviewers, I don't remember exactly what he said, but the gist of it was, I'm going to save you the price of the book. What you think about is what you bring into your life. See, you're done. And you know, when I read the book, that's what it seemed like. It seemed like they were just repeating themselves over and over and over and over and over again. It wasn't until a couple years later that I went back and revisited it and started reading it again that I realized that we miss a lot the first time around, particularly with Abraham material. And I think what happens is we all have these filters in place. I mean, it's just kind of the way our mind works. It's part of the reason why we notice the law of attraction phenomenon. You start focusing on Volkswagens, and all of a sudden Volkswagens show up everywhere. Part of that is because of the way the human brain works. And I think what happens is if you read a new set of material and it kind of violates the filters you have set up, you don't see it. You don't see that stuff. It just kind of, you kind of block it out the first time around. So the second time around, it's like, was this stuff here before? I don't even remember this. And
yeah,
that's what I discovered.
And I always tell people too, which just happens with me, is that you can read something or hear something and you think you've got it. And then 6 months later, you can hear the same thing. And then you're like, oh, now I get it. And then 6 months later, you hear the same thing. Oh, now I really get it.
Yeah.
It kind of just, it evolves within yourself.
Well, that's just what it is. Abraham is just full of layers of information. And you have to keep peeling back the skin of the onion, so to speak, before you finally really get what it is they're talking about. I mean, that's why, David, for instance, you and I do, we're doing the Astonishing Power of Emotions. And with Wendy Dillard, we do the basics of the Law of Attraction, mm-hmm. the basics of the teachings of Abraham. With Cindy Chavez, I'm doing Money in the Law of Attraction. And in all these cases, we go through and we do like one little, you know, reading, one little section from the book, and then we just mincemeat it. You know, we just turn it into little tiny pieces, say, okay, so what does that sentence actually mean, you know? And once you start doing that for a while, you realize, wow, there's a lot more depth than a cursory reading would lead you to believe.
Yes, yes, yes. So Jill, is there a way that Law of Attraction ties into what you do? Like any, when you give a reading or something, does it tie into it or not really? Or,
well, the thing is that, you know, once I believe you've enmeshed in that kind of thinking, it becomes a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So yes, it's kind of, you know, it's funny because this just popped in my head. I remember one time, someone I know is, they're a speech therapist. And so I said to them something, I asked them a question about speech therapy, something about somebody I knew had something. And they said, do you want my personal and professional opinion? And I looked at them and I didn't say it because I didn't want to be rude, but I felt like saying, how do you divide that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you not be who you are and a professional answering a question? That doesn't make any sense to me. And that's how I look at doing EFT and working with people to change their, because really what EFT does is just change the channel of your thinking through tapping. So in a sense, if you bring in the law of attraction in with it, you can really change the road, the way the road of their thoughts goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my favorite things is to tap into someone that it's none of our business. It's none of our business, which is something that Esther says all the time as Abraham. She's like, why, you know, how she'll, when she's doing, somebody's asking questions and then they bring up something about somebody and she'll go, it's none of your business. It's just none of your business. And they want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
But it makes me crazy. No, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. So that's one of the things that I really instill in all my sessions, no matter what I'm covering. I always throw that one in there because that is so important in life to, and all the other one is don't take it personally. It's not about you. Stop taking it so personally. So it's, you know, it's always incorporated because it is a part of me. I've been listening to these things for so many years that they're incorporated in my whole thought process at this point.
Yeah. And indeed, that's very easy to do, that whole thing about getting involved in someone else's business. I mean, Wendy Dillard, who does the the weekday afternoon podcast with me Monday through Friday, that's been a theme of a lot of the things she's been talking about with me. She's also a life coach, and she has a phrase, stay in your own lane. She's constantly telling that to herself, because even though she knows it's true, I mean, we all know that really you should be staying in your own lane. You should be minding your own business. But how often do we just kind of fall into the trap of, well, I'm just not even going to consciously think about doing it. I'm just going to do it one more time, so to speak. And it's like, oh, no. Stay in your own lane. Stay in your own lane.
It's so interesting, though, when you can really tap on it and get it right, eventually, it really, the moment, I remember when I got a moment where somebody said something to me. It was this, I'll tell you. She said, you haven't called me back, and you know my rule, if you don't call me back after two things, I don't bother. And she said, I just think it's a Libra thing now. And she was being snippy, and I'm a Libra. I just think it's maybe I don't need Libra friends anymore. And I looked at her, and I swear it was the best moment that I can remember. I looked at her. I had no emotion of guilt, fear, nothing. All I looked at her, and I smiled, and I said, gee, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because I didn't take it personally.
Yeah, which is good.
And it was none of my business what her feelings about it were. That's I didn't
right.
do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel that and that's your law that you want after two, go enjoy yourself.
Which
Don't
is
ask
great.
Me what was what.
Because it's so
you
easy to
I
fall
mean?
Into that. Oh, it's really easy to fall into that. And you didn't, which
well,
is fabulous.
Well, what was she saying it for? She was saying it to plant it on me.
Of
for
course.
Some
she was trying to guilt you.
Yeah. And I was like, but the sense of freedom that I felt was like, yes.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was really good.
Yeah. Now, do you guys find, like, a lot of times, like last night, for example, I woke up in the middle of the night and my mind was going on about something negative. And I had to coach myself out of it to get back into a better vibration. Like, do you guys find that you have to do that sometimes as well?
For myself, I meditate. So what I have found is that the easiest way to go back to sleep after I've wrestled with my mind a bit, I go, oh, that's right. You know how to do this. And then I get calm and I clear my head the best I can, and I take three really nice deep breaths, mm-hmm. release them slowly. And if it's not gone and I'm not peaceful, I do three more. And that's the process. And the next thing, I wake up later.
And then what about, like, just in your waking state? Like, for some reason, you catch yourself feeling like you're at a low vibration or you're thinking about something more negative. Like, do you have to, like, coach yourself out of that?
I don't give it any energy at all to even waste my, that's just me. I just don't. If you start giving it energy to talk yourself out of it, there's no reason to go in it deeper to talk yourself out of it. From me, I just back out of it. I just back out.
Well, what's your technique of backing out? Just like a conscious decision?
A conscious backing out, being quiet, stilling my mind as best I can, and then doing the deep breathing, and then going back to sleep again. Because you do sometimes, you don't realize it, but perhaps a noise jolted you out of your sleep. And for some reason, the startle was, you got startled. So you wake up and you feel anxious or whatever. So that would be my method that I would use. If I start talking to myself, I just wake up further.
Right. That's true. That's true. I mean, it's interesting because I've heard Esther, when she's channeling Abraham, she'll say, when you go to sleep at a high vibration, you'll wake up at a high vibration. And for me, I don't find that always true. I mean, I wish it was, because when I go to sleep, I always make sure I go to sleep at a high vibration. I recall the wins I had during the day, and I think about things I'm thankful for and things that I want. And sometimes I don't wake up at a high vibration. I think I wonder why that is.
Well, I'll try addressing that myself just for a second, because I've had that same experience. And what I have found for myself, I'm not saying this is you, it may not be, but for myself, I've noticed that on those occasions where I got myself to a high vibration, went to sleep, and woke up the next morning not feeling high vibration, if I really honestly look back, I recognize that despite the fact that I was working to get myself into a high vibration, there was this little niggly thing, you know, this negative thing that I just wasn't letting go of. And I think what I ended up doing was kind of mixing my message to myself as well as to the universe as I'm going to sleep. So, of course, I got a mixed result when I woke up.
See, I always remember her. I like the one where there's a name for it, too, where you set your mind for tomorrow instead of.
Yes, when you segment intent.
Yes, your segment intent. So if you do that before you go to sleep, instead of trying to get in a good mood, you're going to get in a good mood if you have your set with, I'm going to, you know, in other words, you set your mind already that I'm going to be in a good mood tomorrow because of this and why it's the way to go. And we'll see, I incorporate tapping with it too, so that it really hits home. But, you know, it's the easier way to go, I think, if you just go into setting your, what tomorrow is going to be a great day and I'm going to have all energy and all that. I think it's easier than getting in a good mood before you go to sleep.
Now, with the tapping, like, why would someone want tapping? Like, what does it do?
What tapping does is that we're energy. That's Einstein. We're all energy. So, for an example, with if you have this is if I do a demo, if I do a talk about it, my question always is to someone: if you can think of something that happened many years ago, and you think about it today, and you still can get that jolt of annoyance, anger, hurt, sadness, whatever the feeling is, if you can still get it, then it was a jolt to your system, your energy system. So it was kind of like an emotional punch in your gut, for instance, that you just don't, it doesn't go away. So you need to tap it out. And what you do is you go in there and you discuss what that issue was. So I was just finishing school and we were planning to get married and he just took off with somebody and jolted me. So the memory of that is maybe hampering you getting in other relationships or whatever. So, or you get fired from a job and you never can leave that, get that feeling gone. And then you always feel fearful you're going to get fired, that kind of thing. So if you can address that and tap on it, you release the energy that's blocking you and you always remember it, but it's sort of vague. It's like, it's like you saw a movie, The Gone with the Wind or whatever movie you saw, and you remember the movie, but you're not, you don't really remember it with any kind of feeling.
Oh, I see. So before the tapping, somehow it would have affected the person in, more, in, a,
yes.
negative, like in a negative way.
Well, they could still get angry. If they
right.
if they were angry at their ex-husband or their ex-boss or whatever, then they're going to, if they bring remember the situation, they're going to bring, the anger comes back. Well, then you still had a charge. And if you still have a charge,
yeah.
then you need to release it because it's only in, it's inhibiting your life. And it's, you know, it's kind of like there's the law of attraction stepping right in. In other words, I believe spiritually, all of these things are pieces of what we need to have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No comment.
I thought Dave was going to go on for another question, so I was just staying in the background.
No, I didn't realize you were done, so I didn't
want to. No, I was just wondering if there was another question. That's all. Because I could go on. It's just, you know.
I just find that that's very interesting how that releases that whatever block is.
I know.
Doing.
It's almost like hard to believe when you get, when it's gone. Like I said, when that person said that to me, oh, well, I'll just, you know, if you don't call me, blah, 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 whatever. And that it didn't even bother me. Like I didn't have any, it was, I actually smiled.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you're talking my having tapped on many different things made it possible for me not to react to that in a negative way. Many different aspects that went on in my life to make me feel less than or
yeah.
you should feel guilty or you didn't come up to the mark or you don't show up for people or you're negligent. You know, like think about it, the scope.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. And, you know, why did I do it? Because, you know, it starts with just how you start thinking a more positive way. And when you start thinking on a better way, your life changes. And law of attraction is part of that,
mm-hmm.
for sure. That's
mm-hmm.
a big chunk.
Mm-hmm. So is it, and the person you're doing it with, is it more of a subtle thing that they experience or is it more obvious?
It depends on the situation. I mean, I've had situations where, you know, because what I do is I ask questions.
Yeah.
And the person, I ask them, for instance, when did you start, what happened that you made you so angry? Well, my boss did da da da. And then, oh, I'll give you, this is a better example. There was a man, this really happened. He was in his 70s. And I was helping at a place painting for a charity place. And somebody walked by and asked me some EFT something. And then they went downstairs and we were painting. And he said, what is that? And I explained it. And he said, I said, you know, if you have something you've had for years that bothers you or you think about it a lot, then I probably could get rid of it for you, especially if it's old. And he goes, oh, I have something like that. I said, well, I probably could help you. And so he says, all right, I'll let you try. So we went into this other room and what it had to do with was he told me that when he was in second grade, now mind you, this man is in his 70s.
Right. A long time ago.
A very long time ago.
Yeah.
So he's in his 70s and he said, I was in second grade and we had a substitute teacher and she would write a word on the board and then we would have to say what the word is. And she said she wrote elephant on the wall, on the board, and she asked me to say what it is. And he said, I couldn't pronounce elephant because I was using the F. I mean, the P. I was using the P. I'm sorry, how do you spell elephant? So he says, he said, I was saying it completely wrong. And she laughed, and all the class laughed at me. So I felt stupid. And I, to this day, feel stupid. So, okay. So I'm asking him questions and I write them down so I can see. There's always key words in there. So I wrote them down and I said, we tapped on it. And he said, I feel a little better. I said, but what's left? Because you always ask, what is it from zero level is it? So he said it was a 10. And then I got him down to a 4. And from my experience, with lots of people. When I hit a four and they can't go, it's generally a family situation. Mm. So I started asking questions, and it came out that his older brother always got great grades and he was always raved about at home. And he wasn't.
Hmm. Wow.
So what the real issue was...
Well, it wasn't the elephant.
Exactly.
It wasn't the elephant.
It wasn't the second grade. It wasn't the substitute teacher. It was his parents and his brother.
Wow.
So we tapped on that. He was crying that it cleared.
Amazing.
And he saw, I see him occasionally, but he doesn't say it anymore. But he used to go, it never came back.
Wow.
He said, it doesn't bother me anymore.
So a lot of times there's the obvious thing isn't the reason.
Right. It's like I have insomnia. So you don't tap on insomnia because insomnia is depression or anxiety. That's what causes your insomnia. So you need to find out whether it's anxiety or if it's depression. And I think depression is thinking about the past and anxiety is worrying about the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to see which one zeroes in on it, on why they're not sleeping and what's causing which one it is. And then you have to do a little bit of mining, I call it, and excavating. And then you find out where the issue really is coming from. And then you pull it out and tap it out.
Wow, amazing. That's wonderful. Wow. Well, I think that's it's healing to the person.
Yes,
You're removing, I mean, he was carrying that around for so long, my goodness.
We carry a lot of stuff around.
Yeah, we're good.
So are you going to read something from a book, one of the books?
Sure, yeah.
I just wanted to ask you guys one thing, because this is an experience I had this week, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. So I got a call from a potential client, you know, looking for law of attraction coaching. And he was telling me his story. And then he said, he goes, I've had many coaching sessions with two other law of attraction life coaches. I said, oh, that's interesting. That's great. And then he proceeded to tell me, you know, what he was working with them on. And the point is, I asked him, well, what is the law of attraction? Because I figured, well, and he was bragging that these two coaches were very well known and very popular or whatever. I said, that's great. So I said, well, what is the law of attraction? Because I figured, well, if he's worked with these great coaches, he would at least know that. And he could not tell me. I was like very like surprised. And then the issue he was working with them on, he didn't get results because the issue was something that, you know, it involved wanting to attract like a particular person back into his life and all that kind of thing. And, you know, of course we can only control our thoughts and our vibration. And it was just it left me very confused because how are these people being law of attraction life coaches if they're not doing their job correctly? Like, how does that happen? Like, can anyone say they're a law of attraction life coach?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, anybody, there's no, at least here in the U.S., there's no legislation that says you have to, you know, get a license or whatever to be a life coach. I mean, there's some people who call for that. I personally don't think it's a really smart idea, but yeah, I mean, you see it on Facebook. I mean, I spend quite a bit of time.
But I was just like, wow, like you have to be so careful. Like people have to be so careful that, and he was saying that these two were very well known. I mean, when he said their names, I've never heard of them, but that doesn't mean anything really.
Mm.
So I was just very surprised, like, wow, that there's, you know, a lot of people out there, I guess, who are getting coached by people who don't know what they're doing.
Well, I mean, like I said, I see this on Facebook all the time. There's a group there that I participate in quite a bit. And there's a lot of good advice that gets passed around. And there's a lot of advice that I just kind of like roll my eyes and say, you got to be kidding. You know, so, I mean, when you have a world population of people all coming in on the same topic, you're going to get different perspectives. You're going to get different viewpoints, different you know, ways of understanding and looking at it. And some of the ways of understanding that some people have, I mean, I just have to like hold my tongue and say, you know what? It's none of my business.
You know what though, David? Think of it from another point of view.
Yeah.
If this person supposedly spoke to two coaches.
Well, he not just spoke to them. He paid for many sessions.
Okay. So here's the thing though. He sounds as though he was wanting to get an answer that was an impossibility. So he was disgruntled. So, but he's telling you that he still wanted the same thing. Obviously, this man isn't getting it.
Right. And I explained to him the truth about what it was he was wanting. But I just bug him. Like, I know for me, when I start, especially when I first start working with someone, like, I make sure they clearly, fully understand, you know, what law of attraction is, and the, you know, at least the basics. So as we go on from there, we can build on it. So it just boggles my mind how he could have worked with two apparently very popular coaches, and he didn't have an answer for when I said, well, what is the law of attraction? That just boggled my mind. I was like, wow, I don't know.
He could just be not that he just didn't want to listen. I mean, there are people walking among us that don't listen, or they'll hear what they want to hear, and they do not hear what it was really said.
But I just wanted to say, I just wanted to bring that up, because if there's anyone listening, just please be careful. If, you know, if you are going to work with, whether it's a law of attraction coach or whoever, you know, do your best to make sure that they're at least certified, or I don't know, they have real good reviews or something. Because, wow, just to know that there's people out there coaching people that don't really know what they're doing is just scary to me.
Well, I wouldn't recommend being scared by it. I don't think that's going to be the right thing to attract.
Well, just for the people that are being coached by these other people, I'm like, wow.
You know what? We attract everything into our lives, right? I mean, that's what we understand about how the law of attraction works. Everything that comes into our lives, we attracted. Well, they attracted it. And there's really, it's very important, I think, to take the concept of morality out of the law of attraction. Because the law of attraction is like the law of gravity, right? I mean, there's no morality about the law of gravity. Oh, my goodness, that person fell to the ground. That immoral law of gravity again. it just, I mean, the concept just doesn't even work. So same thing with law of attraction. I think it's important to take the morality out of it and recognize different people are going to attract for different reasons. They're going to attract different stuff that you and I might roll our eyes at. I know I often roll my eyes at stuff. But you know what? They attracted it. They attracted it for a reason. There was something that they thought they were going to get out of it. And when it gets to the point where it just isn't working for them anymore, or it isn't, you know, resolving whatever it is they're trying to resolve, then they will have gotten at least something that they were looking for, some piece of information, and will lead them to the next step. I like to look at anything that people attract the way Mike Dooley likes to look at it. He looks at it from the perspective of like a GPS. Right. If you have if you're in your car and you have the GPS and you want to go from point A to point B, and you start driving and you end up driving in the opposite direction, what does the GPS do? It tries to make you turn around to go the other direction. You know, well, that's what the law of attraction tries to do. I mean, if you aren't getting the results that you're looking for with whatever it is you're focusing on, then, you know, the combination of your inner being and the law of attraction force, the two combine together to point you in the right direction. All you really have to do is just listen to your own internal signals. So, you know, I don't worry too much about people who are getting bad advice, because if it doesn't work for them, they're going to go somewhere else.
Yes. Well, I mean, fortunately, he must have realized, because he's not working with them anymore. And he was like, oh, I got so much more out of your free session than I did all those other sessions.
Which is great. There you go.
And, yeah, and he is signing up for coaching.
Hooray.
Which I'm happy about.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, too. Like, yeah, I'm not going to, like, overly focus on it.
No.
Because I don't want to.
You certainly don't want to attract more of it.
I don't want to be in that vibration.
That's right, yeah. And if other people do, well, then you get more clients. So you're okay.
So in the book, we're reading The Astonishing Power of Emotions. We're actually on example 13. And
yeah, we're in part two.
Yes, I cannot find a mate. That's the example we're going to read a little bit tonight, as time allows.
Are you our reader tonight? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll do some reading.
Yeah.
All right, so example 13, if anyone's reading along in the book, it's page 125, and it's titled, I Cannot Find a Mate. Example. I've been ready to settle down in a relationship for a long time, but I can't find the right girl. In fact, I've dated many people who want me to commit to them, but I don't feel that way about them. Now, I'm almost afraid to date anyone because I can't find anyone who really pleases me, and I don't want to hurt their feelings by rejecting them. It was easier when I wasn't looking for anything serious, but now I don't know what to do. if I don't date, I'm not likely to find someone, but dating isn't working out well at all for me either. So that's this person's dilemma.
Okay. So Abraham...
And then...
You want to read it? Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Oh, all right. Well, Abraham is going to address this question, and Abraham says, when you really want something, and you are looking at something that opposes it, you always feel negative emotions. When you really want something and you believe you cannot achieve it, you also feel negative emotions. But if you do not really care about something and you are offering thoughts contradictory to it, you do not mind that so much. In other words, if someone you did not know were to call you on the phone and explain that this would be the last time that they would ever call you, you would feel no negative emotion. Funny how that works.
That was a little confusing, but
well, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit wordy, but yeah, if somebody calls me who I don't know and says I'll never call you again, I say, okay. There's not a whole lot of emotional attachment there.
Yeah, like when Jill answered that person without any attachment, same thing.
Right, sure. So when your desire for something is strong, your feelings around it are strong, and when you're focused upon thoughts that have you flowing downstream toward your desire, you have strong, good-feeling emotions. But when you are focused upon thoughts that have you pointed upstream and away from your desire, you have strong, bad-feeling emotions. Your desire for a significant long-term relationship has, over time, become very strong. And that is a good thing. And in your positive expectation of things working out for you, circumstances and events will occur that will bring your perfect mate right to you. But what goes wrong with so many people who are now in the position of really wanting their mate to show up is that they try to force the creation of the relationship by fixating on someone and trying to make this individual that perfect mate. Then, as they see evidence of things not going well, they lose their downstream direction and things get worse and worse. And I just want to stop there and say, I see that on Facebook every day. I mean, there is always...
People want to attract a particular person.
A particular person, and they got to use the law of attraction to make that the person the perfect mate. They'll usually defend it by saying, well, I know he's the perfect mate. And then they'll spend the next 15 minutes talking about all the things that's wrong with him. I mean, every single day you can find another person posting the same thing. I think they just actually change names each time because it sounds like it's the same post over and over again. But, oh, my goodness, that happens so often.
Yes, I mean, I've gotten calls. People want to use the law of attraction to attract a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it can get very tricky with that.
Well, it also gets interesting because everybody else who's reading the post is coming at it much more objectively, and usually all the responses are along the lines of, why do you even want to bother with him?
Right, they're not interested in you. Why do you, why?
Anyway, so continuing what Abraham has to say, if you could establish a less serious and more playful approach to your relationships, not trying to make each of them the one I am looking for, but instead saying that this is someone with whom I'm having the pleasure of sharing a meal, or someone with whom I am enjoying a conversation, or someone I'm having a good time with today. Then you wouldn't use this moment in time as your excuse to defy your own intentions and desires, and the universe would more easily and quickly provide the rendezvous you are looking for. And then in italics it says, when you trust the laws of the universe and the fluid, life-giving, productive stream of life, you will find everything you are looking for. But in your belief that you must make it happen through action, you often hold yourself crossways of the current, and you hold yourself apart from your own expansive desires. And this is actually a rather long chapter. They're going into it in great deal detail. Before we go any further, I wanted to ask you, Jill, I mean, I imagine you must get people who come to you for the EFT service in particular, perhaps as a psychic too, which we haven't really talked about much, looking for this kind of thing. Because, I mean, I know David and I have both seen it all over the place. I imagine you must get people asking you about the same kind of thing too, yes?
Yes, and I'm not really... it's interesting because you can pick it up, and usually I will not get involved. I will use just what you were talking about. You can't make anyone love you.
Right.
You can't. And so why are you banging your head against the wall? And generally, if it's psychic or mediumship, mediumship, no. So say psychic, I more or less can pick up that it's them.
Mm.
And many times, it's interesting. It's almost like they aren't serious. They're more like they're so dysfunctional in their own life that they're only going to bring in more dysfunction. And that's what they're complaining about. I get this guy and he's this, or I get this woman and she's that. And it's never about them. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I'm unfortunately the person they didn't want to sit across from when they say that, because I don't give them any mammy pammy. I generally say pretty much where, you know, they get it right from the shoulder with me. You know, why is it about them and not about you?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it always their fault and not, what about you? I do it in a way that, you know, hopefully they'll see. But, you know, these are the people who need coaching from David because they're going about it backwards. And my father had a better way of saying it, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. but they're going about it in a way that's like not producing what they want. Of course, you're not going to get it. And as far as EFT, most people aren't, they're not going to come for that. They're going to come because their heart's broken and they want to clear it, not because they're looking. But generally, it's the same thing. You have to clear your energy field to bring in what you want. It's not opposites attract. That's baloney. It's like draws like. And if you're a crazy maker or toxic, you're going to draw crazy makers and toxic. And that's the facts.
Now, what about when you give someone a psychic reading and they want to know, like, you know, when am I going to meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright? Like,
generally,
you go there with people?
Generally, if I don't sense it, I generally don't pick up that kind of information for some reason. One time I did.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I was pretty excited myself, actually, because I usually don't pick it up. So I told her that, you know, get back to me at some point. I'd like to know if you did. I told her 3 months I felt she might meet someone. I have picked up, I told another friend one time that she had asked me directly, and I sat there quietly and I said, I think you're going to, you know, I gave her a detailed idea of who she was going to meet and his personality. But that was, again, she'd been working to get clear for a couple of years. And she kept asking because she wanted a relationship. And I would always go, I don't see anything. No, I don't think that'll work out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the person you want to ask that. But I did in the end, you know, I actually said, he's going to be this. And it turns out that she's been with him now for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
I did not draw him to her. Mm-hmm. She drew him.
Mm-hmm. But you did
pick him up coming, yes. But I didn't, you know, she drew him in.
Now, Jill, I have a question that's kind of off this topic. But a lot of times I do holistic expos. And a lot of times at these expos, there are different psychics, and some are gypsies and some are not. How can someone tell if someone is a, quote, good psychic? Or is there a way to tell or not?
Well, there's a book out there called, it's on Amazon. It's something about how to get a good reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the download is 99 cents for an ebook. And in there is the basic rules that you could go by to keep you safe to find what you want,
mm-hmm.
and what to look for and what not to look for, and what to expect and what not to expect. And so that's a good one. I would say it's how do you find a good – anybody who's a quick one, anybody who's bringing in past lives, there's no evidence.
Right.
Anyone who says there's angels watching over you, there's no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who tells you that a friend of yours, I think a friend of yours is witching you ill, da 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 da.
Oh.
That's like, that's again, how do you know? How do you prove it? Anybody, of course, I would hope this doesn't still go on. Anyone who's getting a reading and the person says, well, if you pay me X amount of money, I'll get rid of this spell that's on you.
Oh, dear.
No, there's still people that really, some people just,
wow.
are so filled with pain,
right?
So miserable that they feel they're being hexed by, oh, your old boss is doing this, or that neighbor of yours, or, you know what I'm saying, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, let me remove this hex from you. That kind of stuff still goes on. And if they can get away with it, they will. But
yeah, because I would think a lot of people that will go to a psychic, that, you know, they want, they probably do ask, like, oh, you know, who do you see in my future? Like, when is my...
Well, the thing is that, you know, you have to use your brain also, like what's plausible and what's not plausible. What resonates with you? Go with your gut.
Yeah.
If somebody's telling you something and you're going to yourself, no, that doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard readings where, I mean, I've heard other people giving readings where I'm like, they're arguing. I think your daughter's boyfriend is really not very good for her. No, actually, she's married to him now. Oh, you know what I mean? Like any kind of guessing games, mm-hmm. that's another way to tell right off the bat. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're asking too many questions or what is it? Oh, it's called going fishing. That's what
right.
actually we all call it.
Right.
When you see a medium or a psychic fishing,
right.
you know it's bogus.
Oh, I see. Because they should be telling you. In other words, they should.
Right. I mean, I can see them asking a legitimate question that's not invading or giving like any information necessarily. But, you know, it's situations where, you know, I want to meet a boy and I want this or I want that.
Right.
It's kind of like, you're going to meet. I've heard people say, oh, yeah, you're going to meet somebody, and just tell them what they want to hear.
Wow.
Which
yeah.
I mean, what can I say to you? I would never do that, but there are people out there who are more than willing to tell anybody what they want to hear.
Wow.
And that person will keep calling them back until they finally figured out it's all not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know, where do you stand on an idea that has become more and more popular, which is that everyone has psychic ability, and it's just really a question of developing that ability.
It's true. It is absolutely true. Mediumship is a different thing, just like, what is the other one? A medical intuitive. It's almost like their chemistry is different. But psychic, there's little things you can do to train yourself. One of them I say to everyone is this, and we all can do this. What you do is we all have that little voice. So you're getting in your car and you're going to the supermarket, let's say. And in your voice, in your head, you have it's one of those thoughts that you're going to get in the car and drive whatever way you're going to drive. It's just one of those thoughts that come to us. Well, suddenly you'll get an impression that you should go a different way. It'll get you there the same time, pretty much. It's just a different way. You're supposed to listen. So those are the beginning clues of building up the ability to get clues from. It's getting clues. It's asking for clues. Ask the universe, ask spirit for clues. And go the different way. And you may not have any reason to... You know, why did that happen? That was stupid. And then you don't listen the next time. But always listen. Always listen. Because I always listen. And then one day it's like, go this way. And I was just like not paying attention. And I didn't go the way that I was. It was a little bit longer with a couple more traffic lights. And I didn't listen. What happens? I'm behind road construction. Cars behind me. Couldn't get out. And I'm like stuck. And I thought, I'll be a son of a gun. You know, when I listen and the road is clear, it's like, why did this happen? But anyway, that's a way yes, everybody is psychic, to answer your question. And it's just a matter of cultivating it.
Abraham talks about hearing and listening to your inner being. Is there a difference between being psychic and listening to your inner being?
When you start really listening to your inner being, I believe that is the first step you have to take, because now you're communicating with that higher vibration of yourself. And once you've accomplished a real relationship with that, now you can step up the game and you can pull in other information, because we all have guides. We all have things that entities and things that are helping us. You know, there's many stories about people go, I don't know why I did it, but right, I did this, yeah. You know, and you're like, you know, if you're into this, you understand, oh, I know why it happened. It's just like when Jerry was on that truck or when he, something and he had to jump or something happened. There's one of the CDs or tapes that talk about it. And he knew instinctively, he just heard it, do it, boom, he did it, he listened. See, the key is, start to listen to that higher vibration of yourself, that inner voice, and then more comes and more comes and more comes. And if you want information, you can say, all right, give me some clues. I need to figure out this. I can't figure it out on my own. Give me some help. That's when you can start pulling it in. It works.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah. Wendy Dillard, who's the, again, the afternoon podcast host who does the shows with me Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, has lots of conversations now with her inner being. It's gotten to the point where she actually gets it as continuous sentences, whereas earlier in her life, it was more like she would get an idea that would come to her at various times, but it's becoming more continuous now.
Yeah.
And you were suggesting that the more you interact, the more that happens. So it sounds like it's very consistent with what her experience has been as well.
Right. And then the higher you build that vibration, and if you could bring yourself to meditate, and then of course the way to really develop it, the way that goes the best, this is what I did, 4.5 years of sitting in circle, it's called. And what you do is you sit with like-minded people and you just sit quietly and you have sacred space and you can't break the circle. So once the circle's made, you can't, no one else can show up. If they're late, that's their problem. The door gets locked because you can't break the circle. It's a safe circle. And then what you do in there is you just wait and you're quiet and you wait. And eventually you start getting information about someone else sitting in the room. It's very cool.
Huh.
It didn't happen overnight. But it happens. If everybody could do that, everybody, that's how you develop your psychic ability. And then, of course, if you have the mediumship ability, you too can, you'll start bringing, someone's brother will come who died, or father, or whoever.
And just to clarify, what is the difference between psychic and mediumship?
Psychic is more, it passes through you. So the information comes through you. So, and I, when I was being trained, it was interesting because they always say, give what you get. Do not put your twist on it. Always give what you get. And I've sat with mediums who actually, and psychics, who put their own twist on it, their own viewpoint, which it's just their viewpoint, you know. But in mediumship, it's coming from outside. It's coming from, like mine is up in the corner, up sort of, above the person sitting across from me, if you can picture this, up above their right, on the right side, my right side, their left. And I just look up there and that's where I get my information from. It's not coming through me, it's coming at me. Difference.
Is it coming in like sentences or just words? Or?
It's coming in impressions. Everything, it's different for other people. For me, it's an impression. Sometimes I can hear it. Sometimes I can actually feel the energy. I pick up the essence of who they are. If, you know, I can pick up if they're an angry, I can describe who they are, their personality to the person sitting there, because I pick up the essence of who they are with their, if they were an angry person, if they were a loving person, if they were kind, if they were caring, if they were, you know, whatever.
So mediumship is always about communicating with someone who's passed on.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, we're almost at time, believe it or not. So, Jill, is there any way, if someone wanted to contact you, they could?
Sure. It's Jill Near at earthlink.net.
J-I-L-L. How do you spell Near?
K-N-E-E-R.
Excellent.
At earthlink.net. And my phone number is 973-625-4222.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Jill.
And thank you for having me. It was very nice.
We're glad to have you, and we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.